Are your kids big readers, big book readers? Did they get into books while they were younger, and as they're getting older, as they're approaching the teen years, you're worried that maybe the interest might be dropping off in favour of other things, like, you know, the computer games or being online on social media platforms? Well, with you now to talk about books that will keep their interest as they pass through those late primary school, early teen years, with you is Rowan Simkin from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. She's a volunteer there and she used to be a primary school teacher. And you know what else? She just loves books. So, Rowan, great to have you again on Afternoons.
Thank you, Paula. It's good to be here.
What is it about books like this, books where you're looking at the late primary school, early teen years? What really captures kids' attention in this age group?
I think adventure, stories about people of a similar age who are doing interesting things. If there are authors that they really liked in their younger years who are writing for older readers as well, that helps. People like Maurice Gleitzman and Emily Rodda, who have written for a vast range of ages. Books that look outside their immediate world. So the younger readers like books about school and friends and holidays, whereas these have a bit more excitement, perhaps social justice issues, other countries. They're exploring their world and going further afield.
Now, you mentioned Maurice Gleitzman there, and that's one of the books that you're looking at today. So which ones out of his writings?
These are still series books again, and most of his books are full of humour. Not to say these ones don't have humour, but this series, which starts with Once, is about a young boy, Felix, who escapes from an orphanage, and it's during the Holocaust. So he is a Jewish boy and he is worried about what's happening around him. He rescues a young girl called Zelda, who's quite a bit younger than him, but they form a great partnership and friendship. And he's escaping, but he's got a vivid imagination, so he's always telling stories about what could be happening. But it's what's really happening is that the Nazis are after him, and they're both looking for family members. And it's pretty horrific. Maurice Gleitzman's grandfather was a Jewish man from Krakow in Poland, and although he left well before that time, Maurice Gleitzman does have family that died in that era, and it's a good way for young people to learn the history of it in more of a story where you would hope that there would be a happy ending. And this Once and this Then, there's about six in the series so far, and they're really good. Good stories. There's still humour in it, surprisingly, in those really tough times. There's still good humour, but really exciting books with lots of interesting characters that Felix and Zelda meet along the way.
It just surprises me that you say this is about grim reality here.
Yes, it is.
It's quite, some of the themes are quite dark, and yet it is a book that kids, I guess enjoy is not the right word to use, but kids still like to read.
Yes, I think they like to know, have some answers to why things have been happening in the world and what war is about. And novels such as this one are a good way for them to learn, feel more comfortable, a good starting point to ask questions of parents, teachers, and get to really follow a series of with the two strong characters and all that happens to them and the way they can overcome adversity and be quite resilient.
Well, I look forward to hearing some of those questions that come out of reading a Once series by Maurice Gleitzman. You're on Afternoons, and with you is Rowan Simkin from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature. We're talking about books that would interest kids who are late primary school, early teens, and the next book that you're looking at, Rowan, is Dragon Keeper. Tell me a bit more about this.
Dragon Keeper is by Carol Wilkinson, and it's one for young people who are prepared to read and to keep reading. Quite a long novel. It's set in ancient China during the Han Dynasty, and it's about a slave girl who doesn't have a name, at least at first, because she didn't feel that she was worthy of having a name. And she rescues an old dragon. So it's quite mythical and mythological in the way it tells the story. And they escape from a very cruel master. You can imagine being a slave in those days. And the two begin an epic journey across China. And a dragon hunter is after the dragon. So the young woman has to try and keep the dragon safe, and it's probably pretty hard hiding a dragon. And it's a multi-award winning series of books. There's four books, and then Carol Wilkinson wrote a prequel. There's a lot of characters to keep on top of, but for young people who really like a magical story, an epic story, strong characters, this is a really good series. My daughter just adored this series. In fact, she burst into tears when she finished the last book because the book was finished.
Oh,
it was so upsetting.
It wasn't because of an upsetting ending in
no,
the book.
No, it's because she'd finished the book. And I think that's a sign of a really good, really good story.
Yes. And Rowan, you mentioned that when we were talking about the Once series, that it could spark conversations about war and what leads to war. Yep. What kind of conversations do you have out of something like Dragon Keeper?
Probably about the history of China, which is something a lot of young people find interesting. The terms, and you could go to an art gallery and have a look at all the different types of pottery from all the different dynasties and how emperors worked. And it's so different from a world that we know. And China, although we've got greater relations with China now, it's showing the old times of China, but with the idea of having dragons in it as well. So I think it's history, but in a different way.
Yes, for sure. And it sounds fascinating. And yes, I do wonder, how do you hide a dragon?
Yes.
It would be a bit tricky. And which brings us to Emily Rodder. She's a bit of a favourite in our house.
Yes. If you've got young people who have read the Rowan of Rin series or the Del Toro Quest series and want to move on to something else, the Rondo series, with the first one being The Key to Rondo, is a really good series to start. It's about a young boy called Leo, who inherits a ornately painted and magical musical box, and he's got four rules that he has to follow with this musical box. He can only wind the box three times. He can never wind the box while the music plays, and he can never move the box while the music plays, and never close the lid till the music has stopped. And of course,
Rowan.
You know what's going to happen. He has a what he considers a weird cousin, Mimi, who comes to visit. And of course, the first thing she does is wind the musical box, the key, four times. And things happen. A whole magical world opens up through the music box, and a sorceress is freed. And so they have to try and stop this awful witch. And see if they can discover the true secret of this, of the music box. Leo's a bit of a goody-goody,
yeah,
and he would never have broken those rules. But Mimi is a feisty, younger, annoying cousin.
Oh, we've all got one of those cousins, haven't
yes.
we?
Yes, and she really, by pushing the boundaries a bit, she can actually help and is not always a hindrance. So they form quite a good partnership, and it's a very exciting trilogy of books.
I'm a bit excited about that now as well. And when I say that we've all got one of those cousins, I have to confess I probably was the cousin Mimi who went to the house and, you know, broke the toy by accident and was a little bit loud and overbearing. But enough about me. Let's get back to books with Rowan Simpkin from the National Centre of Australian Children's Literature. Next, it is an Australian series.
Yes, this is the Our Australian Girls series. And there's actually about 7 or 8 series, and each series has 4 books in them. And they're about a young Australian girl, probably 10, 11, 12 years of age, set during a different historical period in Australia. For example, Ruby is set in the 1930s, and it's about Ruby is in a fairly well-off family, only child, gets everything she needs and everything she wants, and then the depression, the Wall Street crashes, and so the family are having to say no to her for the first time in her life. So it's the story of how she moves away from her parents to go and live with another annoying cousin in the country. And she doesn't like the dirt and all that's happening there. So there's 4 books in that series. There's also Nellie, the Nellie series, which was set in 1849, and the Alice series, which was set in 1918. So you've got the war, the First World War there. And they're written by a variety of different Australian authors, including Davina Bell and Penny Matthews, well-known authors of other series, and they're really a good way to engage young people in history of in significant times, like what was it like to actually live in during the Depression, or what was it like during First World War? How did people in Australia cope? So it's these young people go through situations that are easily related to situations that young people are going through nowadays, but set in a historical context. Really interesting books.
I always find that we have those conversations in our house when you're talking to kids about, you know, very elderly people in their lives, whether it be elderly grandparents, especially if they were alive during these periods, and they go, "Why does grandma do that?" And I'm just like, "Well, there was this time called the Depression, you know, where things were far more, you know, seemed far more valuable and scarce, you know, than what they were now."
Yeah, and it's the life before mobile phones and computers and even cars for a lot of them. So it's a time where people just made do. There weren't the shops everywhere to just go out and buy things. They made things, and it's just a really interesting way for particularly girls, I think, would like this series to appreciate the things that they've got now and what people went through in the past.
And Rowan, the final series on your list is from Jack Heath.
Jack Heath, local author, very different series. These are books that are short stories. So 300 Minutes of Danger shows that there are 10 short stories, there are 10 dangerous situations, and there are 10 brave kids, and they've got 30 minutes to escape. So each short story takes place over a period of 30 minutes. And for example, in the first one, a young boy is going to go to a boarding school to do with snowboarding, which is his passion, and something happens to the plane. And the pilot bails, the young boy doesn't, and he realises his parachute has been eaten through by a rat, and what is he going to do? So these are really quick, short, snappy stories that are very exciting with really strong characters. There's another story about a young girl who is wearing a hazard suit, so she has 30 minutes of air in there, and she's with her parents, and she gets covered in radioactive waste, and how is she going to escape? Now, sometimes with these stories, they only just get out of the situation, so you know they're safe, but the whole adventure isn't over. So these are really exciting, dangerous situations for the young people to be involved in. Quite different from the other series of books. So I think they would appeal to someone who wants something really short and quick to read, but will give them a bit of a thrill.
Give them a thrill, but these are grown-up situations. They actually make me a bit sick with stress to look at them. But kids can find it exciting.
Yeah, they are exciting. They're set all around the world, deep in the ocean, outer space, all kinds of situations that people, young people and adults will dream of. And so it's a bit like sort of a miniature James Bond type thing where it's all very, very, very exciting, probably totally implausible, but great escapism.
Rowan, it has been, there's something in there, I think, for pretty much everyone, Rowan. Thank you so much for talking us through it. That was Rowan Simpkin. She is from the National Centre for Australian Children's Literature, and she's also a former primary school teacher. And, of course, she loves her books. And she's gone through all of these books for us so that we can figure out who would suit what book. If you've got kids or no kids who are late primary school, who are in early teens, and you want to keep them interested in books, why don't you have a look at some of the things on that list? You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger on ABC Radio Canberra.